Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Residents of a controversial direct provision centre in County Kerry, set up to relieve pressure on other facilities during the pandemic, have begun what they describe as an indefinite hunger strike, demanding to be moved elsewhere. The Skellig Star Hotel only began accommodating asylum seekers in March, but was quickly embroiled in controversy after more than 20 COVID-19 cases emerged there. And though the centre is currently free of the virus, residents have begun refusing food, describing their living conditions as inhumane. Our reporter John Cook is at the hotel in Cahersaveen. What's been happening today, John?
Well, the same protest really that's been going on for months, although things have definitely stepped up with news of a hunger strike, Philip. It was in early April we spoke to residents first and locals in Cahersaveen calling for the closure of the direct provision centre at the Skellig Star, just weeks after it had opened to take in around 100 or more asylum seekers who had previously been living in four direct provision centres in Dublin. And the idea from the Department of Justice at the time was to lower numbers in centres around the country to allow for COVID-19, social distancing and preventative measures. But local TDs and councillors in Kerry, who backed calls for the closure of this centre, said the plan couldn't have gone worse after more than 20 cases of the virus in the hotel, leaving residents and the local community in fear. Well, 4 months on, numbers in the Skellig Star have been reduced significantly. There are no reports of any COVID-19 cases today, but residents there were joined by the local community in protest again this morning as they announced they're now refusing food and going on an indefinite hunger strike, according to their placards, due to unsuitable conditions in the hotel, they say, and a lack of support services like social workers or psychologists for traumatised asylum seekers. They also mention problems with food and water, especially since a boil notice took effect due to contamination in the local supply earlier this month. So this afternoon, around 10 of the remaining 41 residents came to speak to me outside, many speaking of frustration, boredom and mental health worries. Father of one, Aswar Fuad from Sri Lanka, who I have spoken to before for the programme, told me numbers are down to 41 in the hotel due to previous COVID-19 cases. And more recently, he says, up to 30 people leaving the hotel, simply walking out, Philip, he said, due to conditions there.
It is very hard to stay here. People has gone through a hard time, so they need to recover from what they have gone through. So many people who can go on their own, they have moved out.
Where to?
We don't know. They have moved out. They might be on street sometimes. Obviously, they can't continue here.
Why have you gone on hunger strike now? And your placards say indefinite hunger strike on, move us out.
Yeah, the reason is from beginning, we are trying to highlight this to the department and IPAS. We send them many documents with regards to this, and we also done many protests to highlight them that we should be moved out to recover from what have we gone through. But up to now, there were no any decision were taken with regards to this. Still we are here, still we are suffering. So we know this place is not a suitable place for continuous living, and we also have many other problems, like the food is not satisfied because we have to eat the food prepared by the hotel, and we also have water problem now.
Trish, you're from Zimbabwe originally. Your posters and the banners displayed inside the windows of the hotel today make some serious allegations about food and water or a lack of it.
Yes, that's very true, because we only get 2 litres of water every day. And unfortunately, we were not told about the boiling system.
Cahersaveen is subject to a boil notice.
Yes,
the hotel, like other residents or businesses nearby, I think.
Yes, they only just put a poster, which they could have set us all down, like the whole group of the staff that has been here. So when you want water, you only go to the reception and ask for it. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't get it.
And why a hunger strike?
The hunger strike goes on with the food. Sometimes the food is rationed. You get there, you can only be given 2 scoops of rice, and then you're given with chips and a shepherd's pie or something else. It is different sometimes, but then it's just the same thing. But on a, they just, if it's rice mixed with vegetables, tomorrow it's plain rice. There's some people that eat different foods. There's some people that are vegan, vegetarian, but then they're only forced to eat the same food every day. So this is like traumatizing more.
And from this morning, you've decided you're not going to eat anymore, is what you're saying. Although I understand the children still here, seven of them, is it, as well, are they eating?
Children, they are not into this hunger strike. Okay. They can eat the food, and those people who is under medications. Okay. So they can eat.
So you have over 30 adults, though, who are on a hunger strike. Until when? Until what?
So until it is very clear what we requested the IPAS department. So until they fulfill that one, we will be continuing this.
You sent them a letter. You've issued your demands. What are they?
We have sent them a request where we want to recover from what we have gone through. We need a place where that is suitable for that. So it should have a self-cooking facility. And it should have a family unit, and individual people also, they should be able to stay individually inside there.
So you want to move to a direct provision centre that offers more independent living or cooking facilities. You've mentioned specific facilities in the country you'd be willing to move to.
Mosny Centre and Tulamo Centre.
You had been in Dublin prior to COVID-19 and were moved here in March. So, but you feel moving to a more appropriate centre would be best now, Trish?
Yes, that's very true. It would be, because we're still traumatised and we're going emotionally, we're depressed. And it's taking a toll on some of us. Like some, we sleep during the day. And then at night we're awake, and we only
Do you go out in Cathair Savine, or how? Because the locals have been supportive, I think, to your cause.
We do go out, like going to Centra, that's all. Okay. When we're just doing the local shoppings, and then we go.
One of your friends told me that you feel people are afraid of you almost, though, in the area because of COVID-19.
Yeah, that's right. We still feel not accepted by the community, because when we get to the shops, there are people who still like run away from us. Or when we meet like people from the community in the streets, there are people who still like cross paths with us because they still believe that we have the COVID, or they still look at us like people who have the COVID or people who brought the virus in Kais even.
I suppose everybody in Cathair Savine, like other places, are keeping their distance from people because of COVID-19, but you feel it's because there were over 20 cases here in the hotel. They're worried about you particularly.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly how I feel. And we're not going to stop. We'll continue the hunger strike until we have the transfer letters in hand.
So, John, specifically they're saying not suitable for continuous living, insufficient water while there's this boil notice in place, and inappropriate or insufficient food. Has there been any comment from the management of the centre about their claims?
No, Philip. I have made several attempts to contact the company running the Skellig Star as a direct provision centre. I'm still waiting on someone to get back to me. There hasn't been any formal response so far to the claims made. I do understand what I've seen from government departments, there may have been an issue in bottled water running out of the weekend. It was quickly replenished, and I'm told there was no point when anybody was left without supplies of boiled drinking water due to the boil notice that's ongoing. The claims being made by the residents here are being backed up by the community and members that I have met today. They have supported calls to move them out. You'll recall in May, Philip, the Justice Minister at the time, Charlie Flanagan, apologised to the locals in Cathair Savine for the manner in which this centre was opened and communication around it, but rejected calls to close it. But the locals are not satisfied with those apologies. In fact, they're planning another protest in solidarity this evening in the coming hours around 7 o'clock. I spoke to some of them making plans for that, including Anita McKeown of the Fáilte Cathair Savine Community Group, which has tried to welcome residents through the lockdown, she said, and offered practical help, like 300 litres of water they delivered at the weekend.
Of course we would welcome them, you know, but that's not what they want. They've been subjected to so much now and they're deeply traumatised. They need to go somewhere where they can recover and they can actually have their health needs assessed and they can be cared for properly. They are seeking protection. You know, they're seeking asylum for protection, and this isn't protection.
Jack Fitzpatrick, you're chairman of the Community and Business Alliance in Cathair Savine. What's your feeling now? You always said to us on Drive Time before these people were welcome here, but at the same time you're calling for them to be moved out too.
They're absolutely welcome, but unfortunately they cannot recover here. They have been so traumatised in this hotel at this point in time that quite simply, and they've just told me that a few minutes ago here again now, that they will never recover here. They have to be moved to somewhere where they can recover. It's the only solution. Even at the moment now, we spoke about the water issue this year. They just told me that the hot water is turned off at 9 o'clock every night. Now, many of them pray at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. That's their way of life to do that, and they need to wash before they pray. And they cannot do that because the water is freezing cold water at 11 o'clock. All the hot water is used up.
So I don't know. I will have to check that with management as well about this. Absolutely. But there are a lot of issues being raised. But going on an indefinite hunger strike, that's pretty drastic.
It's absolutely terrible. At this day and age, that this is happening in our country and in our town is just absolutely, totally unacceptable.
You've been making contacts with government representatives for the area and some cabinet ministers today.
Yes, and we are very hopeful, really. Deputy Foley, Minister Foley, she is now, rang me this morning, and she is very concerned about what is going on here. About a half an hour later, Roderick O'Gorman, Minister O'Gorman, rang me, and he said he will ring back before the end of the day, and I'm hopeful that he will have some positive news for these poor and unfortunate
the Minister
people.
For Education is local TD, of course, and aware of these issues since March in Cahir Sabhain. Minister Foley, as you mentioned, Minister O'Gorman in the Department of Children also taking on responsibility for equality and integration. But has he said to you that this can be closed down or these people can be moved out? Previously, the Minister for Justice was emphatic that wasn't going to happen.
He hasn't said that, but he did in fact say back in May of this year at a COVID-19 meeting that he accepted that this, as he was a TD then, and he said he accepted that the Skellig Star Hotel was not fit for purpose. So we are hopeful that now that he is the minister with responsibility, that he will do the right thing and move these unfortunate people to somewhere they can recover.
Will you be part of this protest in solidarity this evening with the residents here at 7 o'clock?
Absolutely. I think it's very important that the Caspian community and business life continue as we have been, which has been fully supportive of the residents here in the hotel.
And Anita McKeown, what is the plan for 7? You come to support the people like you did this morning as well, and they plan protests for the coming days or as long as it takes.
Absolutely. I mean, the protest tonight is meeting at 7 with candles, and then the residents are planning every day from 11 o'clock they will come out and kind of have a protest. Obviously their energy, because they are on hunger strike, we'll have to be mindful of that. So I'd say it'll probably be no more than an hour every day.
You'll be carrying black flags, people have said. It sounds very symbolic. Some people will think, is this another town that didn't want direct provision on its doorstep? What would you say to that?
I think actually you don't want to cloud the issues. Right now we're dealing with people whose health and safety and mental well-being is at risk. That's first and foremost. Anything else at the moment has to be considered separately.
Okay, and Jack, you've said people would be welcome in direct provision here, but not in this type of setting.
Not in this type of setting. We would welcome families into the Evora Peninsula because what we needed for our schools, we need extra children in our schools to retain our teachers. So absolutely we would welcome families. But as I said to Minister Gorman this morning, it has to be done properly. And we will sit down with his officials at any time and work out a plan going forward.
Could I just add, as Jack says, you know, they would be totally welcome, but there is a huge difference between tokenistic social inclusion and actual real community integration.
Anita McKeown there. John, is it clear whether departmental functions have transferred to Roderick O'Gorman now? And is there any update from the government?
My understanding will be that they haven't transferred as planned. Under this new programme for government responsibility, Philip, for direct provision moves from the Department of Justice to Minister Roderick O'Gorman at the Department of Children and Integration and Equality. However, we have made, in drive time, along with my colleagues, have made several attempts to get a spokesperson from either department today. We have got a statement. It comes from the Department of Justice, which to me would suggest very much that direct provision is still under their remit for the moment. So there is a commitment to transfer it. And of course, a commitment in the lifetime of this government to end direct provision, Philip. But in the statement I've received from the Department of Justice and Equality, first of all, it says there is no need for any resident to put their health in danger by refusing food. And since they opened the centre in March in response to the early stages of the pandemic, the health and welfare of residents has been foremost in our minds. But it does point out that's been carried out or been looked after through virtual clinics between residents and the department officials due to COVID restrictions, and supplemented, it says, by an on-site visit from department officials today. Now, the residents I spoke to told me, yes, there were officials in the hotel today, but they hadn't spoken to any of them as of an hour ago. The statement tells me the officials were there to see the situation firsthand and to hear the concerns of residents directly. They have been tasked with examining issues raised around the provision of meals and any issues arising following the boil water notice currently in place in Cahir Sabhain. Outstanding issues, they say, will be followed up for resolution as a matter of priority.
John Cook, thank you very much for that.